You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 all.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, along with my good friend, Vince Samperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends. Hey, Vince, how are you?
Hey, Jeff, how's it going? As we have talked about before, if the Dodgers win, then we're automatically in a good mood.
Yeah, and the Dodgers did win on Thursday. They beat the Orioles to win the series. It was a 4-2 win. It was kind of goofy. We'll talk a little bit about the goofiness of the game, but unfortunately, even with the win, there was some bad news to come out of it. We're going to talk about Rich Hill's short outing and his injury that led to his departure and the ramifications that might have on the postseason roster. And then we'll talk about Kenley Jansen, the rest of the bullpen's performance, and we'll catch up on a couple little bits of news that we've missed over the last few days. And I think that'll be about it. So that's the plan for today. But first, we want to remind you, please subscribe to our show, Locked On Dodgers, wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car in the morning, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. So Rich Hill struck out the first batter of the game on three pitches, struck out the next batter, both guys on curveballs. And then the third batter, he went to a 1-2 count, I think, and then a curveball hit the guy on the back foot. I don't remember the names of anybody on the Orioles, so I'm just going to refer to them all as the guy. He'll then walk the next guy and then hit the next guy and then walk the next guy to drive in a run. And that was the end of his outing. 27 pitches, 2/3 of an inning. Started off really well, but it was kind of clear that something was not right physically. And after the game, we got confirmation. Vince, why don't you break the sad news?
Yeah, so Rich Hill once again sprained his MCL that he had previously sprained in spring training. So Rich Hill, I mean, they say they're going to have MRI to determine the severity. He missed 4 weeks last time. This all but rules out Rich Hill for the postseason in my eyes.
Yeah, it definitely rules him out of the starting rotation, I would think, because they were hoping to get him four starts to get him built up for the postseason. And even if this is only, you know, last time he was out for 4 weeks, even if this is only half that, if he's out for 2 weeks, that's basically the rest of the regular season. There's no way he can be built up to do any sort of starting gig. And he's, you know, I don't know how much of an option he is out of the bullpen, even if he has a really quick recovery like that. So yeah, definitely not in the rotation in the postseason and probably not on the roster at all. And so that leaves the question of who will be the Dodgers' fourth starter. And I think Tony Gonsolin may have recognized that opening because he looked pretty good in his three innings of work on Thursday.
Yeah, at this point for me, and not for overall effectiveness, but just to overall staff-wise strength, I think it's got to be Gonsolin or Ross Stripling to be that fourth guy. Stripling hasn't been stretched out too much, but he's been stretched out enough to where, you know, he can get to that point with two more weeks left to go. He is getting another start on Tuesday. So I think at this point they got to want to keep Julio in the bullpen. They got to want to keep Maeda in the bullpen. Both have done well. Julio being most of it this year, Maeda being it in the last 2 years. And Gonsolin has, I mean, he pitched the best against the Yankees. He went five innings, only gave up the one run. He hasn't really had any bad outings after his first bad outing in his MLB debut. And he's shown that he can relieve and start. So, I'm leaning towards him as right now, but Stripling as well, just because I don't trust, not that I don't trust Stripling, but I prefer Stripling to start the game than to pitch later in the game in bigger innings.
Yeah, Stripling doesn't strike me. I agree. He doesn't strike me as having much value in the bullpen. So, yeah, if he is going to be on the roster, he would make sense as a fourth starter, or maybe not on the roster. But yeah, that'll be interesting to see. You know, the one you didn't mention, maybe who might be in the discussion, is Dustin May, who's shown flashes of being really good. I think right now at this point in his career, he's a one or two inning guy in the major leagues. And so if he's on the postseason roster, I would guess that it would be in relief. But yeah, I'm interested to see. I think we'll see over the next couple of weeks. The Dodgers will. I don't know if they will say out loud what they're thinking for that four starter position, but I think their actions will tell us what they're thinking by how they start using guys, and you know, whether they start stretching Stripling out more or stretching Gonsolin back out, or what they do.
Yeah, we're definitely going to find out pretty soon too, because like I said, Stripling starts Tuesday. They'll have a vacant spot on Wednesday where Hill was supposed to start, so that could be where they put in Gonsolin. But we'll see how it goes. The other, you know, sad part about this is that Rich Hill's, this is the last year of his contract, so potentially this could be, you know, the last time we see Rich Hill, a.k.a. Dick Mountain, in a Dodger uniform on the mound.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And you could see the frustration and, you know, I don't know what other emotions, but you could see it on his face after he came out of the game. I imagine a guy who's been through as much as he has, both on and off the field, you know, I imagine there were a lot of emotions going on, and I'm sure one of them was, yeah, I might have just thrown my last pitch as a Dodger, and I hope that's not the case. I don't know, you know, obviously he's not going to be looking at a big contract this offseason, but, and I don't know if there's going to be room for him next year as a Dodger, but, I definitely am a big Rich Hill fan.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, he's endeared himself in all our hearts.
Yep. Yeah, and maybe if his time as a Dodger does come to an end, maybe I'll talk more about that, because I was at the press conference when the Dodgers announced his signing, and I have some pretty stark memories of that, that he became one of my favorite players that day. So maybe I'll talk more about that another time. I think that does it for the first segment. Let's we'll take a break. When we come back, we will talk about Kenley Jansen and the rest of the bullpen, how they did. And we'll talk about a couple news items. But first, let's talk about Postmates. Anything you're craving, Postmates can deliver it. They're the largest on-demand network in the U.S., and they offer delivery from all the restaurants, grocery, and convenience stores, and traditional retailers that you could possibly want or need. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credits for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, just download the app and use the code LOCKEDON. Postmates is awesome. They'll bring you chocolate aisles. And we'll be right back. All right, let's take a quick break. For the next minute or two, we're going to talk about SEX. So if you have any KIDS in the CAR, go ahead and plug their EARS for a minute, okay? Hope I spelled all those words right, and I hope you could tell what they meant. Have you ever gone to the barber and wondered why there's a bunch of gray hairs on the ground when they're done cutting your hair? Or have you ever played catch with your son and then you feel like a truck hit you for the next couple days? Or maybe when it comes to the sexy times, are you maybe just maybe a little less always ready to go than you were when you were younger? Don't answer those questions out loud, and please do not tweet your answers at us. It's none of our business. In fact, to quote Michael Jackson from back when we were allowed to acknowledge his existence, ain't nobody's business but mine and my baby. That's where BlueChew.com comes in. If you want to increase your performance and get some extra confidence in bed, check out Blue Chew. That's blue as in I bleed Dodger blue, and chew as in Madison Bumgarner likes to chew out opponents who pimp homers or flip bats or look at him because he's a crybaby and a stunted immaturity, whatever he is. Ugh. Anyway, Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. But the best part is, Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so there's no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises.
Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants a boost in the bedroom, either in quality, quantity, or both. I mean, I obviously don't have any problems with that department. I don't mean to brag, but I do have 3 whole kids. But I have to admit, even I am a little bit intrigued. So anyway, right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code MLB to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring Locked On Dodgers. Okay, we are back, and before we jump into our second segment, it's time for our obscure former Dodger of the day, and this one is going to take us on a journey, Vince. I'll try to make it pretty quick, but there is a journey coming up. Our obscure former Dodger of the day is a guy named Terry McDermott, who you've never heard of. I had never heard of. There's a famous British soccer player with the same name who was actually born the same year as him. So our Terry McDermott is at best the second most famous Terry McDermott. There's also a Terry McDermott who's a published author and has even written some baseball books. So I think our Terry McDermott is down to the third most famous Terry McDermott in sports history. But he was drafted by the Dodgers in the first round of the 1969 draft, 8th overall, out of high school, St. Agnes High School in New York. He made it to the big leagues in 1972, played 9 games, 26 plate appearances. He went 3-for-23. That's a .130 batting average. He did have 2 walks, so his on-base percentage was a stellar .200. All singles, so his OPS was .330, which is not good. He played first base and catcher and some third base. And then that was the end of his major league career, just those 9 games. But for the year before he made the big leagues, and then 4 more years after that, he played for the Dodgers AAA team in Albuquerque, and he settled down in Albuquerque and became a newscaster there in Albuquerque and is a pretty well-known personality there and now works as a spokesman for Intel in Albuquerque. And most notable things I could find about him, his wife, there was some little bit of minor scandal because his wife was part of a group that got a contract from the city that he was kind of involved with or something. And then there was another one that they had filed a lawsuit against their daughter's high school for some illegal counseling they had done to his daughter. So that's Terry McDermott, who was the 8th pick overall in the 1969 draft. And the reason I mentioned Terry McDermott is because I wanted an excuse to talk about somebody who's not a Dodger, who was drafted 1,020 picks after Terry McDermott with a 1,028th pick in the 1969 draft. That's the 75th round. The Kansas City Royals drafted Al Cowens. Have you heard of Al Cowens?
I have not.
Yeah, he played 13 years in the big leagues with the Royals, the Angels, the Tigers, and the Mariners. And I just wanted to tell this story because I came across it and I love it. In 1979, May of 1979, a pitcher named Ed Farmer hit Al Cowens in the face with a pitch, broke his jaw, broke a couple of his teeth. In that same game, Farmer also hit Royals second baseman Frank White and broke his hand. So Ed Farmer was a one-man wrecking crew that day. A year and a half later, Cowens was now playing for the Tigers. He had already played for the Angels, then he was on the Tigers. And he faced Ed Farmer again. And he hit a ground ball to shortstop. And instead of running to first base, he ran to the mound. Ed Farmer had turned to look at the shortstop making the play. Al Cowens tackled him from behind and sparked a bench-clearing brawl as revenge for being hit in the face a year and a half earlier, charged the mound after grounding out to shortstop. And I think that's amazing. He was actually, a warrant was issued for his arrest. The police tried to arrest him in the locker room, but team officials wouldn't let the police into the locker room. Eventually, charges were dropped. Ed Farmer agreed to drop charges in exchange for a public apology and a handshake from Al Cowens. And that was that. But it's one of my favorite stories in baseball history. And it didn't involve any Dodgers. And I couldn't figure out a way in nobody involved. Like in that Tigers, whatever team Ed Farmer was on,
Like, nobody in that game ever even played for the Dodgers, so I couldn't do it, so I had to go with Terry McDermott because he was drafted in the same draft as Al Cowens. And so Terry McDermott is your obscure former Dodger, just so I could talk about Al Cowens.
There we go. That was a journey.
Yeah. Speaking of journeys, Kenley Jansen has been on a little bit of a journey this year. A little bit of an up and down, kind of a roller coaster. I don't know if roller coaster counts as a journey because you kind of end up back where you started. I guess some journeys are that way. The Hobbit, you know, he ended up back in the Shire.
Russell Martin,
yep. But Kenley Jansen pitched on Thursday, got the save, 1-2-3 inning, had a strikeout and two other outs. And he threw a lot of pitches. He actually went to a full count, maybe on all three batters. I don't remember if the last batter got to 3-2 or if it was 2-2. But I liked what I saw is basically what it boils down to. His cutter was definitely cutting, and he was throwing the four-seamer. He said he mixed in some two-seamers too. He hit 95 or 96 at one point. The slider looked really good. He actually, each of the first two batters, he almost struck out looking with that slider. The first one, it was barely outside, and then the next one was barely inside. Both really good pitches, though, so he almost got both guys looking. All in all, he looked really good. Did you get to see any of Kenley's performance, Vince?
I did not get to watch any yet. I listened on the radio at that point, but it wasn't Steiner, I believe, Monday. Did make note of Jansen's improved velocity, so that's good to see. It was good to see a two-run lead, and the tying run never got to the plate, so that's always good. So, you know, like we've been saying, we need to see, you know, that Jansen these next couple of weeks. And now that time's kind of lowering, and so we'll see what he can do and if he keeps it up.
Yeah.
And, you know, the adrenaline of October coming up should also help.
Yeah, for sure. One thing that I've noticed, you know, and I've said a few times this year, it seems to be a lot of times it's a command issue. Sometimes the cutter's just not cutting, but sometimes even when it is, it's a command issue. You know, there was the game against the Cubs when he – was it Rizzo that he hit? No, Rizzo hit the home run, right? I can't remember. He hit somebody and they gave up a two-run homer, and that was just a command thing. And one thing I've noticed that I think is related to that, and I've noticed it a few times this year, but I didn't really put my finger on it until Thursday's game. One place where he's still struggling is the two-strike high fastball. You know, and every pitcher, every power pitcher will often throw that two-strike high fastball where you want to throw it where it looks so good to the hitter, they can't resist, but it's in a place where he can't hit it. And I've noticed with Kenley that most of the time this year, when he throws that pitch, it ends up being way too high. And so it's not tempting at all to the hitter. And I think if he can lock down that pitch, because Kenley at his prime would get a lot of strikeouts on that pitch, that high cutter, you know, right at the letters or even the shoulders, where it's coming in and it's just right and the hitter can see it perfectly and wants it so bad, and then he swings and misses. But when you throw the pitch above the hitter's head, well, he's not going to swing at that unless he's Pablo Sandoval, and he's not. And so that's something I noticed again in Thursday's game, just that ability to put hitters away with that pitch. So I'm hoping that he can, I guess that's kind of one of the things I'm looking for as a sign of his command improving is him being able to hit that spot.
Yeah, it's definitely been an issue of not even control, more command, you know, hitting your spots. And if he can find that again, then the Dodgers will be fine in that aspect. But if not, we'll see how it goes. But sticking with the bullpen, I did like what I saw. Obviously, we talked about Gonsolin and Maeda, but I liked that they used Julio in the eighth inning, which is something that they could potentially be doing, you know, later in the year, not even necessarily to face lefties, just to be a dominant presence in the later innings. So, you know, using him now is that was another reason why I don't think he'll be a starter, other than the fact that they moved him back to the bullpen after he started a couple games. And also, if they're going to utilize him in that way and kind of be more of an everyday guy, I'm interested to see if they try him back-to-back these last 13 games or whatever they have left.
Yeah, we talked about Ferguson going back-to-back, and that is something that they may want to check out. You know, they know Joe Kelly can do it. They know Pedro Baez can do it. But yeah, guys like that who have a history of being starters, you know, Maeda might be another one that they want to see back to back just to see how he handles it. Yeah, I liked what they did with Julio too. And, you know, when you talk about if Kenley can get right and then having Kelly and Julio and Baez setting him up, you know, that's potentially really solid. And then a few other guys, you know, supporting cast in the bullpen. So, to make room for Rich Hill back on the roster, the Dodgers DFA'd Jamie Schultz, who they acquired from the Rays last offseason. I think they traded Caleb Sampson for him. You know, Schultz, I don't know if this will mean the end of his time with the Dodgers because it's doubtful that anybody would claim him right now. And so he may end up still with the Dodgers. So it's probably a minor move, even if he doesn't, you know, it's not a super meaningful move. The other news that we missed recently, I don't know if you have anything to say about Jamie Schultz, Vince.
Nah, not really.
Yeah. The other news that we missed the other day, or I saw it, we realized we hadn't talked about it, is Justin Turner won his appeal of his suspension, and I'm kind of shocked. I was surprised he didn't drop the appeal, and then I was surprised to learn that he had won it, because the fact is he was arguing balls and strike and contact was made with the umpire. So I don't know if he was able to convince the league that the umpire bumped him, which is kind of what Dave Roberts had said, or if his case was just look at how bad Rob Drake was that game and tell me I shouldn't have been pissed off at him. I don't know what his case was, but somehow he won his appeal.
Yeah. I mean, I've completely missed that news, but makes sense why nothing had come up. And you got to imagine that either maybe, you know, I don't know how Rob Drake is as a person, but I don't know if he maybe, you know, told the league, yeah, I did bump into him. Maybe, you know, I was trying to listen to what he was saying or something to that extent, or they got other angles or whatever it is. But it's good to see. And, you know, maybe they did take his character into account like Dave Roberts wanted them to, or, you know, maybe Joe Torre has a soft spot. Who knows what really goes on with all that stuff. But yeah. Good for Justin Turner. Save some money.
Yeah. And the other thing that's good for Justin Turner is he had an MRI on his ankle and it is not broken. It's a mild sprain. We all know ankle sprains are, you know, not trivial. They are a big deal, but definitely gives a lot of hope that Turner will be ready in, even if it's a week and a half. You know, that's plenty of time for him to get a few at-bats before the postseason, and he'll be fine, and hopefully no lingering effects into the postseason, and he will have enough at-bats in the regular season to shake any rust off. And, you know, whether he's back in another day or two or a week, I don't know, but it's good news for the postseason.
Yeah, at this point, you know, unless it's 90% healed, 85% healed, I'm holding him out as long as necessary. And even if it's just the final series, he gets a few at-bats. You know, Justin Turner's a guy who really has never really struggled too much with, at least not when he's had injuries, lower body.
Yeah.
When he's had injuries, you know, his wrist and stuff, he struggled a little bit coming out. But he's a guy that I'm not too worried about getting too many at-bats. So hopefully, you know, as long as it heals, it's not a lingering sprain that they have to deal with as time goes on.
Absolutely. I think that does it for today and for this week. The Dodgers start a series with the Mets today. Three really good pitching matchups. The Dodgers have their big three going, and the Mets have their big three going of Syndergaard, DeGrom, and Wheeler. And so it should be a fun series. The Mets are making a push for the wild card. The Mets definitely have more to play for than the Dodgers do, but I'm hoping the Dodgers show up anyway and you know, take two out of three from the Mets, and we'll call it a good weekend. We will be back on Monday to talk about that series and anything else that comes up. Again, please subscribe to the show. If you have Apple products, even if you don't use them to listen to podcasts, please subscribe in Apple's podcast app or iTunes or wherever. The more subscribers we have there, the easier it is for other people to find us. Please also tell your friends and rate and review us in iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. We're also there on Instagram. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I am at Snydog. You can call and leave us a voicemail anytime you want, 323-863-LOCK, L-O-C-K. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you will be too. When you get in your car in the morning, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. We'll talk to you later.
Say, have a good one.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles.
Do you think we'll really win the pennant?
Bye!